Broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Let us pray. Our Father, our heart goes to Thee in prayer and thanksgiving and praise at this hour for the gift of Thy Son unto our hearts, and for the atonement that we have received, the blessings which we have received, the mercies which we have received, and especially the great gift of justification which we have received through the shed blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in Thee and give glory to Thy name. For all of this Thou hast given us freely because of the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer, our Heavenly Father, is that this word that Thou hast given Thy servant today will go home in power and much assurance. Give us clarity of thought and of mind. Give us ears to hear with and eyes to see with, that Thy word may penetrate from the outward to the inward, and lodge there, and we cannot get away from it. But, Lord, it will do its work. It will be the beginning of awakening, revival, and many hearts, is our prayer in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I surely fail. I would be drifting like a ship without a sail.
Oh, then my
Jesus, oh, Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. How lost I would be.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We're always happy to hear from you. Did you write for your free book that we are offering this month entitled The Disciplines of Life by Raymond Edmond? A gracious little book. It is yours free and postpaid if you will write us. About 20 chapters. Devotional, all of them starting with the discipline of discipleship, or a D, danger, daring, darkness, declension. And what he does is he takes a character of the Bible and shows how this individual went through this particular discipline, how God led him and took care of him. You'll want a copy of this little book. I've read it through 3 times. I'm going to go back and read it again. Always has blessed my heart. The disciplines of life, and we all need it at this time in which we're living. It's yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Also, ask us in regard to our circulating tape ministry, whereby you can receive these messages, hear them, these on the Word of Truth, and others that we deliver on a revolving basis. You write us, and we'll be happy to send you information concerning this. And also, you'll want a copy of this message in print. So you write for your free book this next week, and also this message, the series that we're on. And our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We began last week a series of messages on the subject, the Word of God in sin, or what the Holy Scriptures teach concerning this awful law or principle called sin. We desire, by the grace of God, to continue our subject today under the heading of the effect of sin upon the human race. I know that our generation is just about done away with the knowledge of sin and has relegated it to the dark ages, and calls those who preach on sin and against sin puritanic, old-fashioned, behind the times. But dear friend, my Bible tells me in Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions. Yes, I am to declare God's eternal word and lay it out before you, what sin is. You are a sinner by nature, a sinner by practice, and a sinner that lies beneath the awful wrath of a sin-avenging God, a God who hates sin and has a purer eyes than to behold it. He cannot look upon it unless you will be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, his only hiding place from his wrath. You see, the Bible, God's eternal, unbroken, unchanging word, shows us the awful effect of sin upon man, as it pictures him in the state of total depravity. The Bible pictures man as being carnal, fleshly, sold unto sin, and therefore, in himself, there is no way back to a holy and righteous God. And left alone and left in this condition, he'll go to hell without warning. And this is the reason we preach. Honor our God. Preaching his precious word, peradventure he will grant you repentance to the acknowledge of the truth for you're taken captive by Satan and his will. And oh, that you'll come to know even today what sin is. Listen now as we go into our subject today. This word depravity refers to the mental and moral being of man. By total depravity is meant that every part of man's mental and moral nature is corrupted, and therefore he is a creature void of any righteousness or goodness that God will accept as a stand-in before him. Or we read in Romans 3:10-12, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together, become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one." Therefore depravity must be total. For all those mysterious intangibles of man's spiritual nature not only live inseparably with each other, but they live within each other, all together constituting one indivisible thinking mind. And that mind is made up of intellect, volition, emotions, intelligence, instinct, desire, motive, urge, disposition, and temper. All of these are depraved by the fall in Adam. Therefore, the fall of man was total. And this thinking creature stands before God ruined, lost, helpless, and hopeless in sin. I want to go back over that. I define the word depravity as meaning referring to the mental and moral being of man. All right, what is the moral and mental being of man? It is all those mysterious intangibles of man's nature, intertwined with each other, making one indivisible thinking mind. And that thinking mind, that's your mind and my mind, is made up of intellect, volition, emotions, intelligence, instinct, desire, motive, urge, disposition, and temper. And I say that all of these are depraved by the fall in Adam, and therefore the fall was total, and man, who is this thinking creature, stands before God ruined, lost, helpless, and hopeless in sin. This is the Bible's picture of man and the effect of sin upon him. Therefore, depravity must be total. Enters into every facet of man's thinking mind. Now, I've tried to describe it as to what it is. Therefore, when we go to the Scriptures, we find sin defined in many, many ways. First of all, in Ephesians 4:18, we find sin described as blindness. For sin has blinded the eyes of man's understanding so that he cannot see the danger he is in, nor the beauty of the deliverer whom God has set forth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, sin is described in Acts 28:27 as deafness. For sin has deafened man's hearing so that he cannot hear God calling him to come to him in repentance and faith. Again, sin is described in Titus 1:15 as defilement. For sin has defiled man's mind and polluted his imaginations so that he cannot appreciate divine things. Again, sin is described in 1 Corinthians 15:33 as corrupting. For sin has corrupted man's heart so that he has no love for God and no desire for the things of God. You see, dear friend, God's Word pictures man as a moral pervert, debased, evil, and rotten because of sin and his hatred of God, his law, his Word, and his Christ. Now, this is not my Word I'm preaching. This is God's Word. I'm trying to describe what you and I are by nature and why We must have a substitute, and why, to come back to the holy God, we must be saved and be given a new heart, a new nature, why we must be born again by the Spirit of God. Now, in your enlightenment, in all of your so-called intelligence, you might say, bosh, away with all such things. You don't mean to tell me that I, with all my intellect, am a moral pervert and debased and evil and rotten? Oh, you're not talking about me. No, friend, I'm not talking about you, but God's Word is saying that this is what you are. Go on in your enlightenment, rebelling against what you are truly by nature. And my friend, hell is your doom. But if you would listen to God's holy word, you would find that there's a way out. And that is in humble obedience to God in repentance and faith. Again, sin is described in the Word of God in Ephesians 4:19 as polaris. For sin has paralyzed man's will so that he has no power to raise himself from the helpless position he is in, and no moral force to enable him to walk in the ways of God. My dear friend, again I say, this is not my description of sin, but God's description. For we read in Romans 5:6, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Yes, every sinner is without strength, dead in trespasses and sins, alienated from the life of God, and must be made willing in the day of God's power by His Holy Spirit, if he is ever to close in savingly with the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I will go further. Every sinner whom God has ever saved has, to a greater or lesser degree, felt in his own soul the helplessness and hopelessness of his ruined condition before God. And that if he is ever saved, it is to be by a power outside of himself and greater than himself. Yes, greater than himself in his sin, because he lies paralyzed in sin. And therefore, under the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit, a man who lies and sees himself paralyzed in sin begins to cry out, "Lord, save me or I perish. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, deliver. Lord, help. Lord, have mercy, or I'm gone forever. For I cannot save myself. Help me, Lord, or I shall forever abide under thy just wrath." Yes, the Holy Spirit, by the law of God, works in us the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and makes us cry out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Are you listening? I believe you are. Again, sin is described in the Word of God in Isaiah 59:1-2 as separation. For sin has separated man's soul from God, so that he is dead in sin. Yes, separated from the life of God, having no hope in this life, nor the one to come. And my friend, this being so, and it is, then only in the Lord Jesus Christ can we ever be reconciled back to God. Only as the Holy Spirit works in our heart by the sword of His Word can we cease from sin, turn our back upon it, come to hate it, flee from it, and flee to God in Christ from the wrath to come. My friend, do you know anything about what we're talking about? I'm trying to describe today the effect of sin upon man. And this is the effect it's had upon you and I. Again, sin. And the Scripture is described in 1 Samuel 5:22 as rebellion. For sin has filled man's mind with rebellion, so that he is said to be carnal and enmity against God. This being so, and it is, then in every heart of every human being, you listen? I said that in every heart of every human being, there lies that strong, settled feeling of hatred against God, whether it is concealed, displayed, or lays latent in the soul. It lies there, seemingly hidden, but will always rise up when God crosses your will at your pet sin with His authority. I've never seen it fail. I've never seen it fail in my own life. In my nature, I still hate authority. And if God's grace didn't subdue me, I'd be in an awful fix. God's grace didn't keep me, I'd be long gone forever without hope and without God. God, when he comes to our soul to save us, comes with the awful, mighty power. It is awful. Because it renders sin inoperative. And I praise God for it. It holds us by its mighty power. Yes, man is a rebel by nature and hates authority. Children hate the authority of their parents. Wives hate the authority of their husbands. Husbands hate the authority of Christ. And every man in some way and at some time hates the authority of the laws of the land. For man by nature is an anarchist. He hates all authority. And all God has to do is to cross your will somewhere down the line, and you'll find out that you're a rebel in the sight of God. Oh, may His Spirit work today in doing this. So when it comes to the authority of God's Word, you hate it. And why do you hate it? For it is in you to hate it. And when the Word of God comes and tells you what to do, then you find that you hate it. Not only does it tell you what to do, and that's the reason you hate it, but it tells you how to speak. It tells you how to worship, how to pray, how to give, how to dress. It tells you who to associate with, who to marry. It tells you how you are to use your time and your money and your possessions. But you do not want any part of this. You do not want to be told how to dress and who to marry and who to associate with and what to do with your money and with your possessions. No. And when God crosses you there, you rebel against it. That's why you don't want His Word. That's the reason you won't have it in your home. That's the reason you won't listen to it. That's the reason you rebel against it. Because it tells you what to do. And you're not about to bow to the authority of God's Word. And brother, if I had to believe that I had to wait till your free will operated before you could be saved. If I had to preach and then leave it to your free will, I'd be preaching in vain. That is the reason I preach and understand from God's Word that salvation is of the Lord and that He must give the power. He must break the will. He must cause the soul to come to Christ. Because you're not about to be told what to do. But I praise God that when He comes, He makes us willing in the day of His power. Pastor, do you know what you're talking about? Fella, I praise God for breaking my heart. I praise God for coming with His power of His Word into my heart. I praise Him for this. And for granting me repentance and the Word of God to break at His feet. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 7 that when he was under Holy Spirit conviction, that he came to see the law of God as being holy, just and good, and that God would be just in sending him to hell for not keeping it. He saw that the law of God was spiritual, that it entered into the heart of man and convicted him of his very thoughts. And when he saw this, he was made to cry, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He could say, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but how to keep it, I do not know, for I have not the power or strength to keep my thoughts and to put them into action. That action, that truth, what the law demands." And what did the law demand of Brother Saul? And in the same manner of you and I? My friend, he desires truth in the inward parts. Yes, truth in the inward parts. Brother Paul said he found no power to humble himself. He had no power in himself to produce truth in the inward parts. Acts 9 tells us that when he was stricken under Holy Spirit conviction on the road to Damascus, that he trembled and was astonished. As he faced a holy God, he didn't know what to do. There in Judas's home on Straight Street in Damascus, he was shut up in blindness. He neither did eat or drink, as his sin lay heavy upon him. As his heart broke forth into lust, rebellion, bitterness, and hell itself, as he came face to face with the holy law of God, which he had not kept. He said of himself in Romans 7, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Sin became exceeding sinful. And I saw my ruined condition before that holy and righteous God against whom I had sinned all the days of my life. Yes, he was made to confess that he was the very chief of sinners, a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious man, a man filled with pride and self-righteousness. But oh, I hear him describe it in his letter to Brother Timothy in 1 Timothy 1. But the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And that he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. My friend, have you ever known yourself to be like this? Has God ever dealt with your heart like this? Were you ever made to say, like the songwriter, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Thou, O Christ, are all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all under righteousness. False and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity. Oh, dear souls in Radio Land Day, may this be your cry, and may it be mine, as we lay at the feet of our living God in Christ, in repentance and faith. Oh, may you bring forth fruit suitable for repentance, with a hatred for sin, a crying unto God that you ever lived in such a state as you have lived in against him, as we have seen today in the study of what sin has done to man, utterly and completely ruined him, except for the providence of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the holiness of God, the sovereignty of God coming down in the person of his Son and dying beneath our sin. Oh, then love could have never gone out to you, and grace could have never gone out to you, but praise God it does. And that sinner we described today, in all of his ruined condition, can be made just and holy in the sight of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ has died. If you want a copy of this message, you write us. We'd be happy to mail it to you in free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us until this time next week. Goodbye, and may God bless you.